We talked about this earlier. That was Jerod Mayo this morning talking to the media. If they can replicate what the Texans did in a very short amount of time, turning that team around on the strength of two draft picks in the top three, which definitely helped, but still, they drafted a quarterback second overall. They drafted an edge rusher third overall. Both of those guys turned out very, very well. You got the defensive rookie of the year, C.J. Stroud, had a tremendous rookie season. And this season, they've picked up right where they left off, 4-1. Offense hasn't been quite as good, but they still, they're a team to be reckoned with here in the AFC. And that's something that the Patriots absolutely should be aspiring to. And there's a lot of Patriot sort of carryover, too, which we'll get to here, with former Patriots playing on that team, some Texans, ex-Texans on this team here with New England, all the offseason, all that stuff, and we bring it to you right now with our Houston Texans scouting report. Report.
Sorry, hold up. I got to get the song. It was like...
Okay,
the
real
froze on me.
Perfect.
Okay.
No, take your time, because I got something to say real quick. You ever notice Jerod Mayo so far has compared himself and his organization to Detroit, Super Bowl contender,
yep.
San Francisco, Super Bowl contender, Houston... maybe Super Bowl contender?
Playoff team, yeah, sure, right.
How come he didn't compare himself to, like, Robert Saleh's Jets?
Good question.
Seems like he picks and chooses when he people that went through struggles
early
in their
tenure. You don't want to compare yourself to the Jets, right? I mean, that's not going to play well.
It's just very convenient that when he's comparing struggles, early career, coaches, organizations, mm-hmm. moves, roster questions, he only compares his team, his roster, and his future to those of Super Bowl contenders. I think there's some people out there that say, you might be a little closer to some of the other end of the spectrum comparisons.
Yeah, certainly. All right, now without any further ado, let's get to our Houston Texans scouting report. Very good. All right. We'll start with what happened last week with the Houston Texans, who did hold on to beat the Buffalo Bills 23-20. Although it wasn't without some drama. They led 20-3 in the third quarter of this game. Buffalo then scored 17 straight points. Houston wins on a Kai Fairbairn last-second field goal. He's been great for them. C.J. Stroud, the reason why Buffalo was able to come back is because Stroud had a pick and was strip-sacked. Defense then body slammed Josh Allen and maybe had a concussion. Definitely had a concussion. They checked him out, sent him right back into the game. I don't think he completed a pass after that. And the Houston offense was not great. No Joe Mixon. Collins had to leave the game. Diggs was their leading receiver. And the defense only sacked Allen once. They did hit him 9 times. The Texans' only loss this year was to Minnesota, who smoked them in week 3, 34-7. Houston's offense right now is 6 in yards per game at 376.6. That's a lot. But they're 19th in points per game at 20.4. Their defense is 4th in yards allowed at 274.2, but 17th in points allowed. They're giving up about 23 points per game. So that's what happened to them last week. Another win that improved them in record to 4-1. As again, we've mentioned, they're one of the best teams in the AFC. Their offseason additions and subtractions, I think, is the most impressive part of this entire report. They traded a second-round pick for Steph Diggs. They traded a 7th-round pick for Joe Mixon, who the Bengals were going to cut, I think. And they signed free agent pass rusher Danielle Hunter to a 2-year deal. He was with the Vikings, and he's been a game wrecker for them since he got there. They also extended Nico Collins, a 3-year extension, and I think had the best offseason in the NFL. They became the first team in the history of the NFL to add players who had 10-plus sacks, 1,000-plus rushing yards, and 100-plus receptions the year prior.
Huh.
That's something. I mean,
did you
that's,
read their press release?
That is NFL Research.
Oh, nice
NFL
job.
Research had that one.
That's
yeah,
a good note.
That's a good offseason. The Patriots haven't had an offseason like that ever, I don't think. You know?
Why is it always going to turn back to hate for the Patriots?
It's not hate for the Patriots. That's who they're playing. That's who they're going to play this week. Also, they drafted Kamari Lassiter. He's a defensive back out of Georgia. They didn't have a first-round pick. They had 2 seconds, and they used the first one on Lassiter. He's out. He's been ruled out, but he's been starting for them. Also, they drafted offensive lineman Blake Fisher. He's their backup right tackle, and their starting free safety, Callan Bullock, out of USC, is going to be starting for them this weekend as well. There wasn't much offseason drama with this team. They let George Fant go. We saw him against Seattle. Devin Singletary, who is – where's Singletary now? Cincinnati, right? Yeah, because he was traded for in the Mixon trade. Sheldon Rankins walked in free agency, but that's basically it. A lot of turnover, but I'd say it was mostly positive. I don't think you look at any of those and think, yeah, maybe they should have hung on to that guy and not traded for Diggs or not traded for Mixon or not brought in Hunter or any of that other stuff. They had a great offseason. I think they had the best offseason of any team in the NFL this year. Players to watch, why don't you start with that one, Andy? Who are you watching this week?
Danielle Hunter is... I know I go a little over the top. I sound a little like Bradfoe with Tyler O'Neill here, but Danielle Hunter's arms, specimen of a human being carved out of freaking granite.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously also the issue with the Patriots with a young quarterback, still questionable offensive line, is the pass rush. You got Will Anderson, obviously. Tank Dell, sneaky big game maybe for him. He's been kind of quiet.
He's not had a good year, and I know he got shot in the offseason, so like it was a tough offseason for him.
It happens.
And yeah, he had a bunch of games last year where he was really explosive.
I think he could be
end zone threat.
With Collins out, you know, Diggs obviously steps up to the top dog role, but if he gets the matchup with Christian Gonzalez, you might be looking elsewhere if you're CJ Stroud, and I think this might be a big Dell game.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Another guy to keep an eye on is Dalton Schultz, the tight end. This Patriots team has had a whale of a time with tight ends lately. In the Jets game, both of those guys killed you. George Kittle killed you in the Niners game. Last week, not so much, but still, I'd keep an eye on a talented tight end, someone like Schultz. Watch out. He's a guy who can get open and who can make catches. All right, former Patriots on the Texans and former Texans on the Patriots. We'll start with Alex Austin, defensive back for the Patriots, used to play for the Texans. Old friend Miles Bryant is a backup in that secondary over there in Houston. Also on their offensive line, Shaq Mason, who I wish the Patriots still had. Do you remember D'Angelo Ross?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Low-level defensive back.
He's on the Texans now. Joey Sly, the kicker, an ex-Texan. And this guy, who I almost forgot about, J.J. Taylor, is on the Houston Texans practice squad.
Oh, I was going to say.
J.J. Taylor, who was a preseason phenomenon here. Little guy running through those holes in the preseason there, J.J. Taylor.
And he has played.
He has played.
He's got 7 carries for 21 yards.
Currently a practice squad guy, and with Mixon, and I think Pierce is back too this week, Damian Pierce. So you're not going to see Taylor at all. But it's a name that I liked, a guy that I hadn't thought of in a while, and he is definitely on that part of that organization. Now it is time for the all-time Patriots-Texans team. This is a team of players who played for both the Patriots and the Texans. Your starting quarterbacks. One of them, unfortunately, no longer with us, Ryan Mallett. He was drafted by the Patriots.
Yep.
Third-round pick, I want to say. Went to Baltimore, went to Houston. He'd be your backup to probably Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer would be the starter. He played for both teams. Hoyer played all over the place, but was a little bit more of a resume than Mallett. Your starting running back? How about a little Rex Burkhead?
Oh, Rex in effect.
Yeah.
Sexy Rex.
I was a fan of Rex Burkhead.
Really?
I liked Rex Burkhead.
Nice guy.
Good third down back. He could get in the end zone if he were, you know, right up against
it. And kind of a tweener guy. Wasn't really their passing back. Wasn't really their running back. Kind of filled both voids, both roles a little bit.
Yeah, and he's been doing that. He had been doing that for Houston, too. A wide receiver, pretty good group, headlined by Brandon Cooks, Danny Amendola, who I don't remember playing for the Texans, but I looked it up. He did. Philip Dorsett. Andre with an accent over the E. Davis. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Jabbar Gaffney was a Patriot and a Houston Texan. And, of course, Keyshawn Martin, a slot guy who was better in Houston than he ever was for New England. I thought he was going to be bad. I thought Martin was going to be a good player, but he ended up kind of fizzling out there. Your tight ends, how about Dalton Keene, one of the Keene-Asiasi duo that were drafted in the third round. Was that the Mac Jones year when those two guys got drafted? Is that all the same draft?
No.
Maybe it was before that.
I believe.
Farrell Brown also played for Houston. He was a Patriot. Your offensive line, Marcus Cannon at tackle. Shaq Mason, who we just mentioned. Yelda Froholt. And Greg Randall is your offensive line.
You dropped
line.
The Robinson?
Greg Randall Robinson?
Greg Robinson Randall when he played for the Patriots.
Right.
What happened? Did you do that or did he do that?
I just looked
at it. Feels like there's a story there.
Maybe there is, yeah.
He didn't want that anymore.
Didn't want to be Robinson anymore. And on defense, pretty good defense. Vince Wilfork in the middle.
Not bad. Remember the overalls with nothing underneath?
Yes, absolutely.
No thanks.
No thanks. What? You wouldn't wear that, or you didn't?
I wouldn't wear that, and I don't want to see him wearing that.
I thought it was a good look for him. Eugene Wilson, one of my favorite players from the early dynasty, unsung hero back there in that secondary. Geno the Machino. You got John Simon, pass rusher, who was okay here in New England. I think he played a little bit in Houston. Jarvis Green, Barcavius Mingo. Mark Anderson, who I really liked. I thought that was a guy when the Patriots weren't really at their best. He was someone who could go out there and make plays. And then, of course, Johnson Badamosi, who you mostly remember from that Eagles Super Bowl playing for Malcolm Butler and getting absolutely smoked by Nelson Aguilar and basically everybody on that Eagles team. But there you go. There is your Houston Texans scouting report. Did I miss anything?
Not that I can think of. But I think that is a pretty good team of Texans, Patriot crossover players there.
Sure.
Quarterback position might be a little bit light in comparison to some others that we've had. But overall, that wide receiver depth chart, if you take each of those guys at their best in the NFL,
yeah,
Gaffney, Cooks, Amendola, that's a solid crew in the defensive front with Jarvis Green and Vince Wilfork up front.
Yeah, Mark Anderson, yeah, it's front. Not bad.
You like Mark Anderson more than I do, but...
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was an underrated guy.
I think he rode Andre Carter's coattails to 10 sacks and a contract with the Bills.
That's true, although Andre Carter was kind of at the end of his career then, too.
Yeah, but he was better. He was a big old beast.
Good player, yeah, good player. And I like those guys. I liked them up on that line. They were... That's sort of an era of Patriots football that people just kind of gloss right over for some reason.
Well, it's kind of the Mayo era.
Yeah.
Because I remember there was a preseason game in Tampa where Gerard Mayo and Andre Carter were awesome. And on the TV broadcast, I believe I said something to the effect, I don't know, based on this game, I think Carter and Mayo are going to split Defensive Player of the Year votes. And Paul Perillo was all over me. I was intentionally being a homer.
Yeah, well,
you got to play to your audience if you're on the frickin' preseason broadcast, right?
Yeah, sure.
I don't think that's the place for Adam Jones to be popping off negative.
No. But maybe the new Adam Jones popping off confetti guns.
Yeah, everybody said he's a different beast in the middle. Getting texts about it, how he's just such a different person. Keith has changed him.
Yeah.
You find the right woman or the right co-host, the and it changes you, I guess.
It certainly does. Joe is in Randolph at 617-779-7937. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, howdy, boys.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, listen, a few games in, and I'm on the ledge, and I'm ready to go.
Okay.
Go ahead. I got to congratulate Robert Krapp on spending all his money on the world's largest television screen and the world's largest lighthouse instead of acquiring all the best football players and coaches.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Joe, that's a good call.
Wait, is that real?
Did he call him Robert Krapp?
I thought he said Krapp, too. That stuck out to me.
That's
you think that was a real person, or was that like Fitzy doing a voice or something?
I think
no, that was Joe. He's a regular caller.
That was a real guy. I've heard that guy before, yeah. He didn't spend all his money on the video board.
Not even close. He's got like $8 billion.
He's got lots more money, I think, so I wouldn't say he spent all of it, but he did spend more money on those things, I think, than he did on bringing in talent from outside the organization that wasn't already here. That, I think, you can certainly criticize him for. You can criticize him for missing out on Calvin Ridley. I certainly did and still do. I think, in general, that's been a bit of an issue, and that's something that over the last 10 years we all know at real cash spending they're way down and one of the least in the league. So I mean that's something you can certainly criticize the Krapps for, and no one really wanted that stupid lighthouse. The video board, I mean, listen, people upgrade stuff like that all the time. That's part of the in-stadium
capital
experience.
Improvements, don't they call them that?
The lighthouse, though, the lighthouse is pretty, I don't know,
it's pretty what,
pretty lame.
Yeah, I've never been a big fan of the lighthouse.
Yeah, but now we get the keeper of the light.
Right.
Which is also lame.
Also,
they wheel out this
lame
cheap shinzy. Is that the word? Shinzy. Shinzy Bell.
I thought you were going to say something.
I thought I was. I think I thought I was going to say. That's why I paused.
Cheap shinzy
and
Bell? Okay.
The level of the keeper of the bell has kind of ebbed and flowed. There's been some good ones. And then
keeper
been
of the light.
I mean, the keeper. No, isn't it the keeper of the bell? Oh, yeah, the keeper of the light.
Butler coming out for the Seattle game. That was cool.
That was cool, but they haven't all
know
been cool.
Who was it in the Miami?
Because some
know
of them are kind of lame. No disrespect to any of you. I've never been asked to do it. I never will be based on this show and the way things are going. But I always thought if they were going to do a lighthouse, do a real lighthouse. There's always these lighthouses that are like abandoned and they're falling down. There's like charities that save them. Save a lighthouse. Bring a real lighthouse in that, you know, like the classic white with the red stripe and the light and it spins around.
Yeah, go on down in Situate there.
Wouldn't that be sick?
That'd be cool.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you could have done that, and you might have been able to do it for cheaper than building the big concrete.
Well, those aren't like 50 stories high like this thing is.
So put it on top of a concrete platform. Where there's a will, there's a way. Don't shoot down my ideas. This is a great idea,
no,
man.
No, no, no. I'm just saying, like, they wanted to have something that you go up 100 or whatever it is.
Okay, so put it on top of one of the, like, somehow make it cooler. It's a big concrete phallic symbol is all it is right now.
Sure
that is all it is. And I will say this, though. Do people like Joe and maybe you, do you actually believe they took money from football to buy a TV?
No, I don't.
Okay, thank you.
I just think that was a weird thing to prioritize in the offseason when you have all these other problems.
And it looks bad, and like it gives you a talking point. But people don't actually think, like, he took his money out and was like, well, I got this pile of cash. We can either go get good players or we can get a cool TV screen.
Right.
Like, that's not how it works.
No, I understand that. And what I would say, though, is that when every year these things come out, the grades for the team where the players do the anonymous survey and the Patriots get smoked every single year, and it's like, there's nothing for the kids, there's nothing for the families, the workout room's no good. We don't like this, we don't like that. It's all anonymous, everything, but like, That's stuff you could be putting your money towards.
And they're doing that now.
They are now.
They're building like a $50 million training center or whatever.
Yeah, and that's great. And they should have probably done that earlier, I think, instead of letting
everything.
Catch up
here. Maybe Bill didn't want to.
I don't think Bill was like, hey, let's keep this crappy weight room. But either way, even if he did, the Crafts could certainly overrule him if they wanted to. It's their building. And also, they were doing other stuff in the building, like the video board, like the lighthouse, which that you could say was taking money away from maybe building the babysitter room for the kids or what all the other stuff that was on that list. And that's just, you know, another way you can look at it. I think that's more probably in the same side of the budget than football moves and the payroll for the football team. But either way, I understand what you mean.
I feel like we're trending toward a bitching hour. We got 20 minutes left, but I feel like you and I are trending toward a bitching
hour. Yeah, probably are.
And I don't know why, because it's Drake May week. There's no reason to bitch.
True. 617-779-7937. If you're a Seahawks fan, probably bitching a little bit after that game last night. We will recap what you saw in Thursday Night Football as the Niners continue to roll, and then we're right back to May Day and the Patriots and the Texans coming up on Sunday. It's all coming up.